North America's most valuable resource is at risk. That's the featured story, focusing on the Great Lakes, and can be found in the December issue of National Geographic. In advance, we spoke with the author, Tim Folger, who took a look back to gauge the current health of the lakes.
Yeah, in some ways, the lakes are much better, cleaner. You know, we don't have to worry about tributaries to the lakes catching on fire, so we've improved on that score. Some problems we scientists thought they had solved have actually started to come back. One problem in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, especially in Lake Erie, which is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, where algal blooms with fertilizer runoff from farms can trigger kind of an explosive growth of these harmful algal blooms. And when these blooms die, they can release toxins. Or actually, when they're still alive, they can release toxins. And when they die, they suck oxygen. The decomposition sucks oxygen out of the water. So it creates these dead zones in the lakes, and the release of toxins are dangerous to wildlife, and they can cause liver problems in humans. And in 2014, the city of Toledo actually had to, you know, advise people to stop drinking their water for 3 days because of an algal bloom on the lake.
Climate change, Tim Folger says, is creating major problems for the Great Lakes, producing heavier storms and rain-filled springs, and causing heavy fertilizer runoff into the lake's ecosystems. Folger spent much of 2019 along the Great Lakes and witnessed firsthand the rising lake levels and the damage they created. He's also familiar with some solutions.
I think we could learn lessons from cities in the Netherlands. You know, the Netherlands, of course, you know, has been, they're not specifically dealing with like lake flooding, but their whole country is, large parts of their country are below sea level. So they've learned to deal with flooding from the oceans, and you know, they're trying to make cities more permeable instead of having lots of hard surfaces where rain pools and flows and floods through the city. You know, make surfaces that are better at absorbing water. It even makes structures that can hold flood water. Like, for a different story, a few years ago, I visited the Netherlands, and they had parking garages that could double as tanks that would hold excess flood water. So strategies like that. And China is building what they call sponge cities that will have these sort of less impermeable surfaces that are better at absorbing water. You know, another big thing would be restoring wetlands, because they are natural buffers for flooding and storms and storm surge.
The solutions for the Great Lakes come with a major cost, one that Folger says is far too high for any one city to handle. Massive investment is required from the national level, which, considering the current state of affairs in Washington, may seem impossible. But Folger believes saving the lakes, its water quality, its fishing industry, the billions of dollars of shoreline property, has support from both Democrats and Republicans. His work in the December issue of National Geographic was 2 years in the making. And during that time, Folger, who lives in New Mexico, grew an appreciation for the Great Lakes region.
You know, I was lucky. I got to see, you know, the headwaters of Lake Superior, you know, on the north shore of Lake Superior in southern Ontario. And, you know, that's one of the least developed regions of the Great Lakes. The shores are heavily forested, and just, you know, just all kinds of different beaches, stony beaches, beautiful sand beaches. And then you think, you know, I was looking at some of these small streams, you know, that were feeding into Lake Superior, you know, on that north shore, and thinking, gee, at some point this water is going to make its way over Niagara Falls, which I also visited for the first time. And, you know, and you're looking at that, you know, that enormous volume of water spilling over Niagara Falls into Lake Ontario, and you're thinking, and that's just a tiny fraction of the water that's in these lakes. It's just incredible. And one scientist, I was just talking with a scientist the other day, and he said, you know, it takes a few hundred years for water to make its way from Lake Superior down to the St. Lawrence Seaway. So you're looking at water as it's, you know, in that Niagara Falls, that probably was in Lake Superior, you know, a couple hundred years ago at least.
Well, Tim Folger, it was great talking to you, and very enlightening, and thanks for doing this work.
Thanks, Jay. I really hope it was helpful, and yeah, thanks for having me.